is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Hey, that's me. Good morning. I'm Aaron Brillbeck with Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the conversation this morning, it's pretty simple. 405-608-4377. 405-608-4377. Today is Wednesday, June the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2026. We're going to be seeing partly sunny skies throughout the day today with a high of 70 degrees, partly cloudy skies with a low of 66 tonight, and then tomorrow mostly cloudy, maybe some thunderstorms and a high of 86. 70 degrees outside right now. We got a whole bunch to talk about, so let's kick it off just a little bit. A 71-year-old is learning his fate. He's a killer, and he will be put to death. When he's put to death will be coming up in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, the state attorney general opposes a plan for a controversial smelting plan, what that could mean for the future of the project and thousands of jobs that come along with it. Several bills to keep artificial intelligence in check fail, what that means in terms of regulating the technology, and plans to expand Norman Mosque have moved forward, what that means for people living in that area, and new laws regulating fireworks. If you live in Mustang, you probably weren't following those anyhow. But first, let's check out your Freedom's First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Oklahoma's next execution is now set for August 13th. The Court of Criminal Appeals has scheduled a lethal injection for 71-year-old Carlos Cueta Rodriguez, who was sentenced to death for killing his common-law wife in their Oklahoma City home back in 2003. He's been on death row for more than two decades now. His execution date was set for a court order issued May 28th. Oklahoma has already carried out two executions this year at the State Penitentiary in McAllister, the most recent one on May 14th. If the August execution proceeds as scheduled, it will be the third of 2026. Oklahoma Attorney General Getner Drummond is taking legal action to stop a proposed $4 billion aluminum smelter in Rogers County, a project backed by President Donald Trump and supported by state leaders. Drummond filed a petition in Rogers County District Court, arguing the facility could harm air and water quality, strain the electric grid, and impact nearby farms and communities. The plant would be the first new aluminum smelter built in the U.S. in decades and is expected to create thousands of jobs. Project developers say that it's critical to strengthening America's domestic aluminum supply and national security. Well, the Oklahoma Supreme Court is now considering whether a proposed state question that would eventually eliminate property taxes on owner-occupied homes can move forward. Justices heard arguments this week over State Question 843, which would phase out homestead property taxes over 3 years, reaching a full exemption by 2029. Supporters say homeowners should be able to vote on the proposal, while opponents argue it could violate Oklahoma's constitution and strip more than $1 billion annually from funding for schools, counties, and other local services. A court ruling is expected in the coming months. We'll take your call us on this coming up after the break at 405-608-4377. Well, several Oklahoma bills aimed at regulating artificial intelligence failed to become law this year, despite growing concerns about AI's impact on privacy, elections, and public safety. Lawmakers introduced measures targeting issues like deepfake political ads, AI-generated child exploitation material, and chatbot safeguards. But many proposals stalled during the legislative process or never even reached the governor's desk. Supporters say Oklahoma needs clearer rules as AI technology rapidly advances, while critics warned against overregulation. With most major AI legislation falling short this session, lawmakers are expected to revisit the issue when they return to the Capitol next year. Medical marijuana products sold in Oklahoma will soon face stricter packaging rules aimed at keeping them away from children. Beginning on November 1st, marijuana products can no longer be packaged in ways that resemble popular candies, snacks, cartoons, or other designs that could appeal to minors. State regulators say that the changes are intended to reduce accidental ingestion and improve consumer safety. Businesses will have several months to update packaging and comply with the new requirements before enforcement begins later on this year. Norman police officers could help provide security at next summer's FIFA World Cup under an agreement approved with Norman City Council. The partnership would allow officers to assist law enforcement agencies in the Kansas City area, one of the host cities for the international soccer tournament. City leaders say the arrangement would give officers valuable experience working major global events while helping to meet anticipated security needs. Any deployment would be voluntary, with officers returning to Norman after their assignment concludes. The long-planned expansion of a mosque in Norman is moving forward after City Council approved a rezoning request. The project would add a new community and youth center to help accommodate the mosque's growing congregation and relieve overcrowding during prayer services. Leaders with the Islamic Society of Norman say the $1.5 million expansion would provide space for youth programs, community events, and recreational activities. The rezoning approval marks a major step toward construction, though additional planning and fundraising efforts are still underway. A recall effort, meanwhile, is underway in Yukon, targeting the city's mayor and vice mayor following controversy over a proposed data center project. Organizers claim city leaders failed to provide enough transparency and public input before advancing discussions about development. Supporters of the recall have begun gathering signatures, while city officials maintain they have followed proper procedures and are working to bring economic development opportunities to the community. If enough signatures are collected, voters could ultimately decide whether the officials remain in office. Oklahoma City Council, meanwhile, has approved a nearly $2.5 billion budget for fiscal year 2027, setting spending priorities for public safety, infrastructure, and city services. The budget includes funding for police, fire, street improvements, parks, and transit, while also supporting continued growth for development across the city. Officials say the plan maintains essential services without raising property taxes. The budget takes effect on July 1st and reflects Oklahoma City's ongoing efforts to address population growth and long-term community needs. Oklahoma City area leaders are looking to Utah for ideas for the future of regional transportation. Officials from Oklahoma City, Norman, and Edmond recently toured Salt Lake City's transit system to see how buses, commuter rail, and local transit agencies work together under a unified regional network. Supporters say a similar approach could improve connectivity across Oklahoma, reduce traffic congestion, and support future growth. While no specific plan has been approved, city leaders say the visit offered valuable insight as discussions continue about expanding regional transit options. Oklahoma County Commissioners have approved paying Lingo Construction an additional $2.3 million for renovation work on the former ICB building in downtown Oklahoma City. The project will convert the building into office space for the district attorney's office and other county operations. County leaders say the added cost covers unforeseen construction issues discovered during the renovation project. The project has faced scrutiny over rising expenses, but officials say the upgrades are necessary to modernize the aging building and to keep the project on schedule. Oklahoma residents will have more freedom to celebrate Independence Day this year under a new state law easing firework restrictions. The changes expand the dates when consumer fireworks can be sold and used, while also making it easier for property owners to host private fireworks displays. Supporters say the updates will give families and communities a bit more flexibility around holiday celebrations. However, fire officials continue to urge caution, warning that fireworks remain a significant risk during Oklahoma's hot and oftentimes dry summer months. We've got a whole bunch to unpack here. Let's start with the property taxes and the state Supreme Court looking into whether a ballot initiative to eliminate them in Oklahoma is even legal. The biggest controversies surrounding State Question 843 aren't really about whether people want lower taxes. Of course, most of us want lower taxes. The fight's over who pays, who benefits, and how local governments would replace that money. So we want to get your take on this. 405-608-4377 to be part of the show. We want you to weigh in. Maybe you'd like to see some restrictions added to this, like maybe eliminating the property tax when an owner reaches a certain age, or maybe when the house is paid off. Let's also talk about that smelting plant. The story has become one of the biggest political and economic fights in Oklahoma because it combines jobs, environmental concerns, foreign ownership, local control, and, of course, the 2026 governor's race. Tops on that list, more than 1,000 permanent high-paying jobs. That's a hard one to turn down. But what's the cost, and why is Gettner Drummond really opposed to it? Is it because he is genuinely an environmentalist who's concerned about clean water, clean air, or is he doing some pandering as he seeks the governor's mansion? That's up to you to decide. Again, we want to hear from you. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brawlbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Taking a look into Freedom traffic on this Wednesday morning. Yukon to downtown 23 minutes. Norman to downtown 27 minutes. Edmond to downtown 21 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown 25 minutes. Got a couple of construction issues. That bridge work continues. May and Northwest Expressway. Also bridge work I-44 and Southwest 74th. Construction on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
David Ostro, Republican for Lieutenant Governor.
I'm David Ostro. I flew combat missions for the U.S. Navy hunting Soviet submarines.
David Ostro, Christian servant, husband, father, and business owner. David Ostro knows how to create a growing economy.
I built my company from one employee to over 1,000.
David Ostro put the state of Oklahoma's checkbook online to fight fraud and put more money in the real economy. David Ostro knows to improve schools and put more money in the classroom, we must fight the fraud that steals money from students. David Ostro understands to create good-paying jobs for Oklahomans, we must stop payments to illegal aliens.
I've hunted America's enemies, and now I'm hunting fraud, waste, and abuse.
David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor. Same oath, new mission. Authorized and paid for by David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor 2026.
We're here talking with Stephen Smith from ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, how can ICS make pool decks safer and better?
Our Pentek coatings are a game changer for pool decks. They're slip resistant for safety, UV resistant to prevent fading, and tough enough to withstand Oklahoma's sun, rain, and freeze-thaw cycles. Plus, they look stunning with customizable finishes.
All right. Well, safe and stylish. That's perfect for pool parties. How quick is the installation?
We're in and out in a single day. Our coatings cure fast, so you're back to enjoying your pool by the next afternoon. There's no long disruptions.
Well, talk about convenience. So what should our listeners do to get started?
Just call for a free estimate. We'll design a pool deck that's both functional and beautiful.
Make your pool deck shine with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012, 405-403-4012. Or go to ICSConcreteCoatings.com. That's ICSConcreteCoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio. The new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
It's Eric Erickson in Oklahoma City. I'm coming to see you in 2 weeks. Looking forward to it. But right now, we got a lot of news to cover this week. The world continues to be insane. The situation in Iran continues to fester. And my job is to get you through the headlines and all the breaking news right here on Freedom 96.9. And I will take your phone calls as well at 877-973-7425 as we spread freedom across Oklahoma right here on Freedom 96.9, weekdays 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Quick check on your weather today. It's going to be partly sunny and humid with a high of 84 degrees tonight. Partly cloudy, low 66. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, some thunderstorms and a high of 86. Then for your Friday, cloudy, maybe a chance of thunderstorms later on Friday afternoon. High of 87 degrees. It's 70 degrees at 719. Let's talk about property taxes a little bit. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is weighing the future of a proposed state question that would eventually eliminate property taxes on owner-occupied homes. That's a key point. Owner-occupied homes, not rental homes. Justices recently heard arguments over State Question 843, which would phase out homestead property taxes over 3 years, ending them completely by 2029. Now, supporters say homeowners deserve tax relief, should have the chance to vote on that proposal. Opponents argue it could strip more than $1.5 billion annually from funding for schools, counties, fire departments, and other local services. The court's decision will determine whether the measure can move forward to voters. The proposal would phase in a full homestead property tax exemption by 2029. Critics estimate that could reduce government revenues by, again, roughly $1.5 billion statewide annually. So what do you think? We want you to weigh in. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Let's talk a bit about what it is that State Question 843 really does. Now, the proposal would gradually eliminate property taxes on owner-occupied homes, reaching 100% exemption by 2029. Supporters argue that homeowners should not have to essentially rent their property from the government through taxes. Now, we all work our butts off trying to pay our mortgages, and when that mortgage is finally paid off, it's tough to know that the government can still swoop in and take your house away from underneath you after you've done all that work, after you've worked two, three jobs, full-time, busting your butt, weekends, nights, trying to pay that mortgage just to have the government swoop on it and take it, because as you get older and you retire, you can't afford those increasing tax bills. It seems like a way of stealing. Some of the major talking points: schools could lose significant funding. This is really the biggest criticism here. Opponents say that the property taxes are a major source of funding for public schools, especially in more rural districts. Estimates cited for the court filings project roughly $1.5 billion in lost revenue annually, with roughly two-thirds of that tied to education funding. Critics say the measure does not identify a replacement revenue source, but, you know, the state should find other ways to fund schools, and taxpayers deserve the relief from rising housing costs. Again, you work, you bust your butt your entire life trying to pay down this mortgage. You know, 30 years is the average time to pay down a mortgage. Some of us do it in 15 years, but about 30 years. So you're busting, you're cranking, you're doing everything you can to pay this thing down, only to have the government come in and take it out from underneath you. And another one of the issues with it, too, is that you're seeing consistent increases in your property valuations, which means an increase in your taxes. So as you get older, as you retire, as you're looking to have less of an income, now you've got to spend more and more on those taxes. Another concern, though, is going to have an impact on police, firefighters, and counties. Property taxes already help fund county governments, fire departments, libraries, technology centers, and other local services. Critics warn that eliminating the homestead property tax could force cuts in services or shift that tax burden elsewhere. So some local officials involved in the court challenge argue that the proposal could have a devastating effect on government finances. Well, this might be another opportunity then to look at exactly how our governments are spending money and maybe make some necessary cuts. Again, with on a national side, we saw just how much waste, fraud, and abuse was found through DOGE. And we see that same level of waste, fraud, and abuse nationwide. We don't hear about much of it here in Oklahoma, but is it because it's not happening or because it hasn't been discovered yet? And should we be funding this or possibly lose our homes in the process? Billy is from Shawnee. Billy, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing this morning?
I've got exactly zero complaints, man. If I was any better, I'd be twins. What you got?
Well, I just, this morning, and I just, talking about the property tax, you know, to me, there's always been an issue there. When you start getting elderly, you know, you're on a fixed income. And to me, they could go in there at a certain age, whether it be 65, 70, 75, and do away with the property tax. And when that person passes on or whatever, then that the person that gets the property next, then they'd be able to start paying their property tax again. And you know, I know it's to fund education, but you can go back and look at a lot of these schools. I know over at North Rock Creek, here in Shawnee, you can look at the superintendent and his wife and what they make annually, and it's right at $430,000 a year, if I'm not mistaken. And they've got tons of principals that's under the superintendent. So I think they could consolidate a lot of that, you know, to help the cost of what we're having to spend on education.
I agree 100%. Let's have one superintendent for each county. And for bigger counties like Oklahoma County and over in Tulsa, Maybe have one specifically for the city of Oklahoma City, one specifically for Tulsa, and the rest just get rid of. Because you're right, we're administrative heavy, and we don't need to be spending that kind of money.
No, you're exactly right. And like I said, I wish somebody would go in and look at each district and see exactly what these people are, they're making, which I think they should be paid well, but you shouldn't have 10 people doing one person's job.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's just the way I feel about it. But I have thought often, you know, I mean, I know it's a dilemma and you need to have the money for education. And I totally agree. But, you know, to me, well, you know, once a person gets a certain age, you know, they ought to eliminate the property tax completely.
Yeah, I agree. I think 65 is a good age because a lot of us are going to be retiring probably at 67 or 68 in order to get our full Social Security benefits. So that would actually give us a couple years to sock away a couple more bucks for that retirement.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. But I listen to you every morning, and I'm on my way to work, and I just, you know, when you talked about the property tax, I just thought I'd weigh in my 2 cents. So
thanks, brother. I appreciate you calling in. Call anytime. Love hearing from you. And if you want to be part of the show this morning, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9. We're talking about the Supreme Court taking up the issue of whether or not it's constitutional to have voters decide on whether to do away with property taxes for people who own their homes. Another argument is that the proposal benefits the homeowner but not the renter. So under State Question 843, owner-occupied homes would eventually be exempt, but apartment complexes, rental properties, businesses, and commercial properties would still be paying those property taxes. Critics say renters could indirectly anyhow, bear the costs while homeowners are receiving a break. And businesses could also see an increase. So some opponents argue that if the government still needs that revenue, the pressure will grow to increase tax or fees elsewhere, potentially impacting businesses, landlords, and agricultural property owners. Definitely a concern. Mike is joining us live now from Tecumseh. Good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I've got no complaints, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, you know, the property tax question, the idea is, you know, I'm on Social Security, but I, you know, I don't have a problem paying property tax. I have a problem with them being able to raise my property tax as I do improvements on my land. My property tax should be based on what I paid for my property and my house and not what some arbitrary value is today on unrealized gains.
I agree with you. Keep it level so that when you buy your house and when you bought it probably 20 years ago, you know exactly what your payments are going to be and you can budget accordingly without having somebody come in and say, hey, you put a new patio. Guess what? You got to pay us more. Those are unrealized gains. You're not seeing any additional money because of that, but you're being taxed at a higher rate. Not fair.
That's correct.
Not fair.
That's correct. I think that's out of bounds. But property tax pays for a lot more than just schools. My question on the school issue that the other fellow brought up is that, you know, we had this big thing about bringing in the lottery to help pay for schools, yet 50% of it goes to for-profit education and higher education instead of all going to our primary education system.
Yep, you're right. Mike from Tecumseh, thanks for calling and joining us this morning. And I agree. Let's cut out some of this waste and fat first before we even talk about tax increases. Well, busy morning ahead. Convicted killer on Oklahoma's death row now learning when he'll be executed. Attorney General Gettner Drummond moves to block a controversial aluminum smelting project. Why several AI regulation bills fell to the Capitol. And your dad joke of the day is coming up. I want to hear yours at 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News, I'm John Summers. The Labor Department says 7.6 million jobs were available in April. That's up about 700,000 from March. The votes in California's race for governor are being counted. Democratic Xavier Becerra.
As your governor, I am ready to lead the fight to uphold California's promise.
Republican Steve Hilton and Democrat Tom Steyer have also remained atop the leaderboard for most of Tuesday night behind Becerra. Bill Pulte's tapped for the role of acting director of national intelligence. He'll take over for the outgoing Tulsi Gabbard, who leaves her post at the end of the month. The fighting between Israel and Hezbollah is intensifying as Israel's incursion into Lebanon grows. A ceasefire in Lebanon has become a main sticking point as Iran and the U.S. negotiate to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. You hear the phrase tort reform all the time. Politicians say it will stop frivolous lawsuits and lower costs for everyone. Sounds reasonable, right? But here's what the tort reform actually does in many cases. It limits what a jury can award to someone who's been seriously injured. Imagine a child suffers a brain injury because of medical negligence. The jury hears the evidence and decides what that harm is worth. But under many tort reform laws, the legislature steps in afterwards and says, sorry, that's too much. We're cutting it. That's not the jury system our forefathers envisioned. Supporters say tort reform protects businesses. Critics say it protects bad behavior by reducing accountability. And here's the irony. In states that pass strict tort reform, studies often show insurance premiums don't drop the way people were promised. So the real debate isn't about frivolous lawsuits. It's about this question. Who should decide the value of justice? Citizens on a jury or politicians at the state capitol?
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000.
Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. Police are investigating after a vehicle crashed into a home in southwest Oklahoma City, with a crash happening early Tuesday near Southwest 81st in Pennsylvania. No injuries were reported, but the home did sustain damage. Part of the exterior near the garage was destroyed. Authorities haven't released any information, but the cause of the crash does remain under investigation. OKC police are searching for a suspect after a shooting in northwest Oklahoma City. Officers responded Monday afternoon near Northwest 10th and Council, where one person was found injured. The victim was taken to the hospital, but their condition remains unknown. The suspect reportedly fled the scene and no description has been released as investigators continue working to determine what led to the shooting. City leaders say the new multipurpose stadium in Oklahoma City could provide a major boost to local business. The $121 million project is expected to host sports teams, events, and community gatherings when opening in 2028. Officials say the stadium could bring steady traffic and economic activity to the area. Plans include partnerships with leagues and hosting large events, with leaders saying it'll help continue downtown growth. Construction is now underway. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
There's a lot of noise out there, especially when it comes to Medicare. Plans, options, fine print, it's enough to make anyone second guess. That's where Health 65 comes in. We simplify Medicare, explain your options clearly, and we help choose a plan that makes sense for your life, not someone else's. No guesswork, no confusion, just real answers from real people right here in Edmond. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65. Call us or visit us online at health65.com. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Conservative, Republican, endorsed by President Trump, Frank Lucas.
I hear over and over to fight and protect what matters most. So I stood with President Trump and championed the Save America Act to require proof of American citizenship, to prevent illegal immigrants from voting in our elections. And as a grandfather to three granddaughters, I oppose biological males from competing in women's sports. I'm Frank Lucas, and I approve this message because protecting elections and the integrity of women's sports in Oklahoma, well, we always protect what matters most.
Frank Lucas has worked with President Trump against the woke, radical, DEI-loving liberals who are trying to destroy our country. That's why President Trump has given Frank Lucas his
complete and total endorsement.
On Tuesday, June 16th, conservative, Republican, MAGA, Frank Lucas for Congress. Paid for by Lucas for Congress.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect partly sunny skies with high humidity levels and a chance of a thunderstorm in some areas during the afternoon, reaching a high of 84. Tonight will be partly cloudy and humid with a low of 66. Tomorrow is forecasted to be mostly cloudy with a strong thunderstorm becoming breezy in the afternoon and reaching a high of 86. Friday will bring overcast skies, breezy conditions, high humidity, a few showers, and a potentially heavy thunderstorm with temperatures climbing to 87 degrees. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
And a good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. It is 71 degrees outside under mostly cloudy skies at 7:36 already. This morning is really flying by. 7:36 this morning means it's time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave?
Yeah?
I had a parrot who died of the bird flu.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, dumb bird flew right underneath a bus.
Oh!
Oh! And make sure you join Liam Matthews for the drive on the agenda for later on this afternoon. Will UConn residents be successful in firing their mayor? You can weigh in at 405-608-4377. Is Attorney General Gettner Drummond genuinely concerned about the environment as he opposes an aluminum smelting plant? Or is this just pandering for votes? And Scott Pelley just learned what Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, and Matt Lauer learned the hard way. Nobody is bigger than the brand. It's all on Lee Matthews' show starting at 4 o'clock today. Let's check out your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Oklahoma's next execution is scheduled for August 13th. The Court of Criminal Appeals has set the execution date for 71-year-old Carlos Quinta Rodriguez, who was sentenced to death for killing his common-law wife inside of their Oklahoma City home back in 2003. He spent more than two decades on death row. Oklahoma has already carried out two executions this year at the state penitentiary in McAllister, including one just last month. If the execution moves forward as planned, it will be the state's third execution of 2026. Attorney General Gettner Drummond is taking legal action to block a proposed $4 billion aluminum smelting plant in Rogers County, a project backed by President Donald Trump and supported by state leaders. Drummond argues the plant could harm air quality and water quality and strain Oklahoma's electric grid, and the impact could also impact nearby farms and communities. Supporters say the facility would create thousands of jobs and strengthen America's domestic aluminum supply chain. If built, it would be the first new aluminum smelter constructed in the United States in decades. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is considering whether a proposed state question eliminating property taxes on owner-occupied homes can move forward. Justices recently heard arguments over state question 843, which would phase out the homestead property taxes over 3 years and eliminate them completely by 2029. Supporters say homeowners deserve a tax break and should get the chance to vote on the proposal. Opponents argue the measure could violate the state constitution and strip more than $1 billion annually from schools, counties, fire departments, and other local services. Well, several Oklahoma bills aimed at regulating artificial intelligence failed to become law this year, despite growing concerns about AI's impact on privacy, elections, and public safety. Lawmakers introduced proposals targeting deepfake political ads, AI-generated exploitation material, and safeguards for chatbox technology. The supporters argue that Oklahoma needs clearer rules as AI rapidly advances, while critics warned against overregulation that could slow down innovation. With most major AI legislation falling short this session, lawmakers are expected to revisit the issue when they return to the Capitol next year. Medical marijuana products sold in Oklahoma will soon face stricter packaging rules aimed at keeping them away from children. Beginning on November 1st, marijuana products can no longer be packaged in ways that resemble popular candies, snacks, cartoons, or other designs that could appeal to minors. The state regulators say that the changes are intended to reduce accidental ingestion and improve consumer safety. Businesses will have several months to update packaging before enforcement begins. The rule changes are part of a broader effort by the state to strengthen child safety standards. Norman police officers could help to provide security at next summer's FIFA World Cup under an agreement approved by the Norman City Council. The partnership would allow officers to assist local law enforcement agencies in Kansas City, one of the host cities for the international soccer tournament. City leaders say the arrangement would give officers valuable experience working major global events while also helping to meet anticipated security needs. Officials say any development would be voluntary, with officers returning to Norman once their assignments are complete. The long-planned expansion of a mosque in Norman is moving forward after City Council approved a rezoning request tied to the project. The expansion would add a new community and youth center designed to serve the mosque's growing congregation and to help overcrowding during prayer services. Leaders with the Islamic Society of Norman say the $1.5 million project will create additional space for youth programs, recreational activities, and community events. The rezoning approval marks a major step forward, although fundraising and additional planning are still underway. A recall effort, meanwhile, is underway in Yukon, targeting the city's mayor and vice mayor following controversy surrounding the proposed data center project. Organizers claim city leaders failed to provide enough transparency and public input before advancing discussions about the development. Supporters of the recall campaign have begun gathering signatures that could eventually force a recall election. City officials maintain they followed proper procedures, and they say the project could bring economic development opportunities to Yukon. The controversy has sparked a heated debate at recent city meetings. Oklahoma City Council has approved a nearly $2.5 billion budget for fiscal year 2027, setting spending priorities for public safety, infrastructure improvements, and city services. The budget includes funding for police, fire protection, city street projects, parks, and public transit, while supporting continued growth across Oklahoma City. Officials say the spending plan maintains essential services without raising any property taxes. The budget takes effect on July 1st and reflects the city's efforts to keep pace with population growth and long-term development needs. Oklahoma City leaders are looking to Utah for ideas for the future of regional transportation. Officials from Oklahoma City, Norman, and Edmond recently toured Salt Lake City's transit system to study how buses, commuter rail, and local transit agencies operate together under a unified regional network. Supporters say a similar approach could improve connectivity across Oklahoma, reduce traffic congestion, and support future economic growth. While no specific transit expansion plan has been approved, leaders say the visit offered valuable insight as discussions continue about improving transportation options. Oklahoma County Commissioners have approved paying Lingo Construction an additional $2.3 million for renovation work for the former ICB building in downtown Oklahoma City. The project will convert the building into office space for the district attorney's office and for other county operations. County leaders say the extra funding is needed to cover unforeseen construction issues uncovered during renovations. The project has faced some criticism over rising costs, though, but officials argue that the upgrades are necessary to modernize the aging building and to keep construction moving on schedule. Oklahoma residents will have more freedom to celebrate Independence Day this year under new laws easing firework restrictions. The changes expand the dates when consumer fireworks can legally be sold and used, while also making it easier for property owners to host private fireworks displays. Supporters say the updates provide families and communities with greater flexibility for holiday celebrations. However, officials say that they're warning that fireworks can remain a serious fire danger during Oklahoma's hot, dry summer conditions. Well, Moore Police bust a major retail electronics theft ring. We'll talk with a spokesman for the Moore Police Department about the investigation coming up. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Taking a look into Freedom traffic on this Wednesday morning. Yukon to downtown, 23 minutes. Norman to downtown, 27 minutes. Edmond to downtown, 21 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown, 25 minutes. Got a couple of construction issues. That bridge work continues. May and Northwest Expressway. Also, bridge work I-44 and Southwest 74. Construction on the Kilpatrick, Wilshire to Northwest 122nd.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Larry Stein, Oklahoma County Assessor. Larry Stein's office saves more than $5 million a year. That's $14,000 a day using advanced technology. Larry Stein's office earns awards for leadership, transparency, and efficiency. Legislation Larry has helped pass saves all property owners, seniors, and veterans billions. Yes, billions of dollars in property tax cuts. Stick with Stein. Vote for proven results. The Stein way. Vote Larry Stein. Vote early. Vote absentee. Vote June 16th. Paid for by families and friends of Larry Stein.
I'm Larry Stein. I approve this message.
You know, we had an 80-year-old man come in the other day and decide to schedule a male enhancement procedure. We asked, why now, after all this time? He replied, I was born with a small one, and I don't want to die with a small one. Hi, this is Greg with your Ultimate Men's Clinic. Don't wait until you're 80. If you want to be the belle of the ball, we can help you undress to impress with our Follow-Fill penis enlargement or our Botox procedure. Feeling like a fatty? We offer male-specific weight loss with the latest GLP-1 and peptide therapies, helping you slim down and improve your confidence and your health. Ready to go to the next level in the gym or recovery or anti-aging? We have the Wolverine Shot, HGH, and a host of peptides that can change your life safely, affordably, and locally. So, what are you waiting for? Call 405-896-3000. That's 896-3000. Or on the web at menofokc.com. That's menofokc.com. And remember, when it comes to being a man, go ultimate.
Oklahoma, safety starts with you.
If you see something, say something with the free and anonymous Protect OK app. Whether it's a threat to one of our schools, a public safety concern, or a disturbing post on social media, your tip can help prevent crime and keep our schools and communities safe.
Download Protect OK today, because protecting Oklahoma is everyone's responsibility. Available free on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Funded by the Oklahoma Office of Homeland Security.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else every weekday starting at 2 p.m.
I don't care if the Republican nominee for attorney general in Texas has five heads and no toes. I don't care. I don't care if he's purple. I don't care. So long as you're not a Marxist, I literally don't care. That's my rule. Just don't be a Marxist. Don't come after our rights.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Quick check on your weather. Partly sunny and humid today with a high of 84 degrees tonight. Partly cloudy skies, low of 66. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Maybe a few thunderstorms rolling in towards the afternoon tomorrow and a high of 86 degrees. Then on Friday, much of the same thing. Cloudy, a chance of thunderstorms throughout the day and a high of 87 degrees. It's 71 degrees right now under partly cloudy skies. Well, investigators with the Moore Police Department had a really good bust this week. A major retail theft ring. Moore Police Public Information Officer Clint Bliley is joining us live. Good morning, Clint.
Good morning, Aaron. Hope everyone's doing all right this morning.
Doing fantastic. If I was any better, I'd have to be twins, man. You guys are doing all right. You guys had a really good retail theft bust today. Talk to me a bit about that. What led to it, and what were we looking at?
So this was something that happened about a week or so ago. We've kind of closed the investigation on it at this point, but essentially we had an individual who walked into our local Walmart, walked bypassed all the sales and security with a bag full of electronics that included about $2,000 worth of PS5s, Nintendos, some MetaQuest electronics, and loss prevention called us. It was like, hey, we got this guy. He's falsifying receipts through an app. Can you guys come and, we'll place him under citizen's arrest and you guys can take it from there. So we showed up, talked to this guy right off the bat, gives us a fake name. Surveillance catches him walking across the street, not even parking into the Walmart parking spot. His buddies were stashed behind another local business, four other individuals. also involved in all of this. Long story short, we investigate the situation. He's using a fake order app that Walmart uses, falsifying receipts to pick up these items, and then they're hitting up multiple stores across the metro. And then they'll take the stuff, they'll steal it, and they'll go back and they'll sell it in their home state.
So are they trying to return it then with the receipt, or what are they trying to do with the receipt?
So what they're doing is they're using like Walmart order systems such as Spark, and they're taking stolen information and payment systems through cash apps. They're obtaining these receipts. They're walking in and being like, hey, I'm here to pick up an order. I'm a Spark driver, or I'm a delivery pickup person.
Gotcha.
And they'll be like, oh, okay, well, we'll go pick up your PS5s and your Nintendo Switches, and we'll, you know, close it all out and you can go. So they show up, they pick up these items through a fake receipt that shows a proof of payment that didn't actually happen. And then when they get busted kind of on their way out, they're like, well, here's my receipt. And so sometimes they get away with it. Sometimes loss prevention's like, nah, we saw you doing this at five other stores. We looked into the receipt. It doesn't actually exist in the order system. You're under arrest.
Yeah, and we're seeing more and more of this. We're seeing more and more thieves using technology to put new twists on kind of an older type of theft. So in this case, it's very similar to just stealing from the store, but they're actually putting a more high-tech twist on it.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of this stuff. It's become more popular, you know, ever since COVID, you know, these home delivery systems, people, you know, picking up orders for other people, taking it to their houses. So it's kind of become a normal way of life of how, you know, we've learned to do things since then. But where it gets tricky is that you have all these cash app fakes and you have stolen credit cards. And so what these thieves can do is take this information that they're stealing from other individuals, putting it into another app, you know, taking your money, spreading the wealth through other apps and opening up new accounts. And it makes this incredibly hard to track down. And unless you really have all of the electronic devices that they are using in these cases, it's really hard to really be like, okay, this is, you know, who you stole from. This is how much money you've taken from them.
I was going to say, as investigators, it becomes almost impossible to keep up with the technology, keep up with the multiple different apps that multiple different bad guys are using in order to do what it is that they're doing. It's like trying to drink from a fire hose.
Yeah, exactly. And we always promote this in law enforcement. You know, if anything that you pay for, send to somebody involves a Bitcoin or a Cash App or some or a Venmo, there's a good chance that, you know, unless you really know this person or you're very confident in how you're processing these payments, like, there's a very high chance that this could be related to some sort of a scam, maybe not in that initial moment, but further down the line. And so we'll see these groups come from Michigan, which is what happened in this case. These individuals are from Michigan. They came into Oklahoma. They'll do all this stuff here. They'll take everything back, and they'll either resell it. They'll keep some of the stuff for themselves, you know, spread the wealth to their buddies.
And these were pretty young people.
Yeah, so we had four individuals. One of them was a juvenile. They all were fairly young guys. So, you know, as we look at tech crimes going forward, you know, the younger generation is so savvy in how to open apps, manipulate apps, move things from one to another. And so we see a lot of these retail crimes like this involving younger kids, young teens, young adults. But that's not limited to just them, obviously.
When it comes to scams, I know that you guys have dealt with this one too, where somebody will call claiming to be a police officer with the city of Moore, and you have an outstanding warrant, and we're coming to get you unless you pay this fine, and here's how you pay it. Talk to me a bit about this scam.
So I actually have a really great example of this. We had an individual called us, said that, hey, I think I got scammed. My son-in-law was arrested. He's on bond in this county. I paid them a bond. Then they called back and said the payment didn't process. So he paid it again.
Ouch.
Well, he was like, well, this doesn't sound right because now they're calling me a third time. So he called us, and dude's out $18,000.
Wow.
In a matter of a week. And so essentially what he was doing was he processes his payment, and he's the first time it was like, oh, I didn't go through. Same time it was like, oh, well, can you just mail us the check through a courier? And so they'll write these checks then, and then they'll send it into the mail, and then we have to try to track down the check. But anytime any law enforcement agency calls you, and I'm putting quotation marks around that, right?
Law enforcement, but right?
If they call you and say, hey, I'm Officer So-and-so with the Moore Police Department. You have a bond. I need $900, or I'm going to come arrest you at your house. That's a scam.
Yeah.
We will never call you. We will never threaten you with an arrest over the phone. If we're going to come pick you up on a warrant, we're going to come knock on your door, see if you're home, talk to you and be like, hey, you got a warrant. And then you don't pay us anything. We will take you to the jail, to the courts, and you can handle it that way.
But so here's
pay a police officer.
Here's why these scams work, though. The people that are on the other line, it's not like the Nigerian prince scam that we used to deal with, 10, 15 years ago. What if somebody with a very foreign accent is talking to you like this and telling you that they're from Moore Police Department and they want you, my friend, to give money? It's not the case anymore. Now these are people with Americanized voices. They sound just like you and I do. They've got no accent whatsoever, and they play on emotion. So they'll try to play on your fear by telling you, look, either you do this right now or we're coming right to your house in front of all of your neighbors and we're arresting you. Or they'll play on your fear and say, look, we just arrested your grandson. He's going to jail. He's a young man. He's not going to do well in jail. I'll tell you that right now. The inmates are already looking at him and drooling, kind of a thing. And these are the kind of scare tactics that they use to try to get people to pay them and pay them quickly. But you're right. Anytime that somebody is claiming to be a police officer using scare tactics, the answer is simple. You hang up.
Yeah, you just hang up. One big thing that, as investigators and stuff get more savvy with these changes and these scams going forward, we'll be looking at how AI impacts all this. You can very easily manipulate people using AI and their voices and just write these scripts out and throw out whatever you need to with it. So there's been some cases, not necessarily in Moore, but there's been cases where you see, an AI scammer doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And then the phone call will transport you to another person who's going to be like, okay, I'll take your payment now.
Yep.
So,
and you're right. With the AI, it's easy to do because all I need is a little bit of a sound bite from something that somebody's put on social media, which, kids are on social media all the time, and they're doing videos and they're doing audio and that kind of a thing. I need a small snippet of that, and I can manipulate that using AI to say, hey, Grandma, it's me, Bobby. I've been arrested. I need you to send money. Here's where you send it. And next thing you know, Grandma's broke.
Yep. It can be very, quick, easy, takes 10, 15 minutes. And they don't really want to fight too much over the phone. So if you give them a hard time, you start asking questions, sometimes they'll very easily fold.
Yep.
Sometimes they'll get very aggressive. We had a case where we were on the phone with somebody, and they were like, oh, so you talked to the police then. Well, you can't get your money back. Click. So, they can be blunt and aggressive and, really hone in on that fear-mongering.
Yeah, and no police department's going to mind if you get a call from somebody who claims to be a police officer from either your agency or any other agency. You get that phone call, no officer is going to mind if you say, look, I'm going to hang up on you, and I'm going to call the phone number real quick, and I'm going to ask for you, and I'm just doing this for my protection. No officer is going to be angry about that. If the officer does get angry, chances are it's not a real cop. Clint Bliley with the Moore Police Department, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. I appreciate you. Let's make this a regular thing.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's do it.
All right, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you listening in this morning on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9. Coming up later on today, Brian Kilmeade at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson at 11 o'clock. We'll have Dana Lash checking in at 2 o'clock. And don't forget, Lee Matthews with a drive at 4 o'clock. He'll be taking your phone calls throughout the show at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. I'm Aaron Brobeck with Freedom 96.9. I hope you have a fantastic day.